So today's message is entitled Waiting. And who here, show of hands, likes to wait? Really likes waiting for a long time for things to happen and occur? I would say not many of us, right? In this year, there's been a lot of seasons of waiting, right? We keep waiting for this vaccine to occur. We're waiting for COVID to go away. We're waiting for an upcoming election. There's a lot of waiting that we've been doing this year. So I thought it would be fitting to go to Scripture today to see, well, what does the Bible tell us about waiting? Because though we can be frustrated at times, and though we can be impatient, and we don't always want to wait, and if you ask my wife, she would say that I am not the most patient all of the time, we do see that there are good reasons to wait in Scripture. And so I'm going to be in Psalm 27, verse 14, if you'd like to turn there. And it says this, it says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." So, just to give you a little bit of context, this is the very last verse, or the last statement that David makes in this psalm of Psalm 27. And this is an exuberant declaration of David's faith of the Lord. He starts it out by saying that you are my light and you are my salvation. And then he starts to list all of the different difficulties that he's gone through in his life. Because if you know David's life, he's had a point where he was running from the king who was trying to kill him. He then later becomes king, and then one of his sons tries to dethrone him and then tries to kill him. And there's so much drama between him and his family, and there's just so much to David's story. But we know that a lot of his life, he was running and hiding and trying to save his life. But in spite of all of that, he continues to declare his faith in God. And then he summarizes the whole psalm by saying this, "Wait on the Lord. Wait on him, because he is the one who can give you strength, and he is the one who is worthwhile to wait in." So when we think about waiting in our lives, we want to ultimately think about when you are waiting on the Lord. Every day you should view your life through waiting on God, because when we wait, waiting is a demonstration of our faith. So if you are someone who says, "I have faith in God," you are called to do what David does here and wait. See, Scripture, it's a clear command. Wait on the Lord. You are called to wait. But what are we waiting on the Lord for? Well, we are waiting on his provision. We're waiting for him to provide for us, for the needs. So if you have prayer requests or prayer needs and you ask him for something, you were called to wait. Wait for him to provide. We're called to wait on his intercession. We're waiting for him to work on our behalf in certain areas of our lives. We're waiting on his deliverance. That's what King David is talking about here in this psalm, about how he continues to be delivered and saved from or by God, even by all of these enemies that are coming along in his life. He knows that God is his salvation. He is the deliverer. He will the one that will deliver him. But then ultimately, as Christians, we are waiting on the Lord to return. See, every single day, our expectation should be that one day Christ will return. That's what we were remembering whenever Uncle Jim just did his communion. We talk about the great remembrance of what he did on the cross, but the expectation of his return. So we wait on God to provide, to intercede for us, to deliver us, and to return. But in this text of Psalm 27:14, it says this. It says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage." So it's not just, I prayed to God, or I'm waiting on the Lord and I'm impatient. You're supposed to wait with a certain type of attitude. The text says, "Wait on the Lord and be of good courage." That means to be confident in your waiting. So when you wait on the Lord, you shouldn't be saying, "Well, God's not answering my prayer, so I guess I'm just going to keep on waiting and hope he answers it." No, you need to be confident and say, "I will wait on the Lord because I know his timing is perfect. I know that His answers are good. And I'm going to confidently wait in God. Whatever His response is, whatever or whenever His timing is, I will wait on it. So with the vaccine, with COVID, with the election, with anything else that you might be petitioning God right now in your prayer life, wait and be of good courage. Because your faith will be shown based on how you wait. So whenever God is not giving you the answer that you're wanting at the time that you may want it, how you respond, how you act towards God, what does your prayer life start to look like? How do you relate to others? That's a demonstration of your faith. See, when we look at David, think about this. Whenever he was going through hard times, he may have been hiding in a cave just to survive. He even had to go and steal the showbread one time to eat it just so he wouldn't starve. But he still always responded with, I'm going to wait on the Lord. He is my light. He is my salvation. I will continue to trust in Him confidently and boldly. See, that's how David responds. But do you respond like that? Or do you become bitter towards God? Do you blame God? Do you question His goodness, His grace, His mercy, His love? Do you lash out at others? Become cold? See, there are so many things we can do when we're called to wait. But as the believer, the one who trusts in God, we wait and we are of good courage. And then there's this tendency, though, however, as Christians, as humans, there's this tendency to want to, as we are called to wait, to put matters in our own hands. See, in Genesis chapter 16 and chapter 18, we see the story of Abraham and Sarah, if some of you know this story. Now, Sarah was not able to bear Abraham a son. And obviously this is very important, especially in this culture, to have a son, to continue the lineage. But Sarah was barren. But God promises that He will give them a son. So does Abraham and Sarah, do they just wait patiently, boldly, confidently in the Lord? And they say, no matter what, we're going to trust God. And whenever God gives us the son, it will be here. No, what do they do? Sarah takes it upon herself to act. She says, he's not working fast enough. He's not giving what he promised. So I'm going to give you Hagar, my servant. And now I want you to sleep with my servant. So she gives a woman to sleep with Abraham, her husband. And then Hagar has a son. So now Abraham has a son, but it's not of Sarah's, because they took matters into their own hands. However, later in the story, we see that God was still faithful. And God did give Abraham and Sarah a son, Isaac. But here's the thing. There became so much problems now between Hagar and Sarah, because now they both had children with this man. And there became conflict and issues and drama, all because they didn't wait. How many of us can be like that at times? God says wait, and you say, I'm going to act anyway. I'm going to be impulsive. I'm not going to trust you, your timing. I'm just going to act. And then what happens? Do you get yourself in trouble? Is there more drama, stress? See, if you don't wait on God's timing, it's not going to work. You can try to force it. It's like a puzzle piece. Have you ever had the wrong puzzle piece? And you say, I'm going to force it anyway. It just never works. Same with God's timing and His will. If you continue to go against God's will and His timing, there will be trouble. But if you wait, good things will occur. But as we wait, waiting is not passive in a sense. Waiting is active. See, sometimes when we think of waiting, we think of it as like being at a dentist in a waiting room, when you're just waiting for 30 minutes, an hour, however long it takes to get into your appointment. It's not exactly like that, in which you just are on your phone scrolling or just looking through a magazine and just hoping something's going to occur. No, waiting is actually active. Have you ever seen a server? I know I've served as a waiter at one time. When you're a server or a waiter, what you do is, even if they're already good and you've given them what they needed, you're still always in expectation of what's going to happen next. You're still working throughout that time. And that's how we should do as we wait on the Lord. You should continue to be expecting Him to answer, expecting Him to move, and we continue to serve even while we're waiting. So be like a servant, not like someone sitting at a dentist just passively going by. Or has anyone ever done a plank? Have you ever worked out doing a plank before? Yeah, this is what a plank is. Ready? The concept is this. You go like this, and you wait. And you wait for a long time. And if you notice, it's not passive. It might look passive, but if you give me another 30 seconds, I'm going to start getting very red and very out of breath. Right? But though I'm waiting, I'm constantly engaged. I'm very active. And that's what it's like to wait on the Lord. We continue to be active in our faith. We continue to be active in serving, confident in expectation. So that's what it's like to wait on the Lord. But not only are we called to wait because it's a demonstration of our faith, we also wait because waiting produces strength. Just like in the plank analogy, or if you've ever done a wall sit, where you just sit against the wall and wait. You're waiting, but you're getting stronger each time. So as you wait, you get stronger, because that's what the text says. It says, "Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart." So God promises us, for those who wait on Him and trust in Him, He will give you a supernatural strength, a divine strength in which He will give your heart the ability to endure through the hard seasons of life. And then there's this text in Isaiah 40:31. It says this, it says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." See, life can be very difficult, especially through this year. We've seen that there are many trials, many things that can be hard seasons in our life. And even the young, the old, the strong, whoever you are, life will wear you down. It will exhaust you. And all of this waiting can become very taxing on your soul, on your body, everything. But if you choose to place your hope, and if you choose to wait on God, He is the only one that promises to renew your strength and to renew your heart. So as you wait, unlike all the unbelievers, they're going to just continue to get worn down. But if you continue to place your trust and hope in the Lord, and if you wait on Him, He's going to renew you. So your spirit will continue to be strengthened. Because as James 1:4 says, it says that when you allow patience to occur, it says, "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." So as you continue to wait, you continue to cultivate patience. And as you cultivate patience, you become able to endure. And when you endure, you become complete, lacking nothing. You become mature. So God uses opportunities for us to wait so that He can make us more mature. See, if we always just ask God for whatever we wanted and He just gave it to us when we asked, how we asked, every time, you wouldn't be very mature, would you? Think about this. Who has had a kid that's wanted candy or wanted something at the store before? What happens if you give it to them every single time? They become spoiled. And they think that basically it's a given. They're entitled to anything they want. But what happens if occasionally you choose to give them what they want, but majority of the time, or especially the times whenever it's like candy, which they don't need, especially if they already have something, food at home, you don't have to give them all these things, because when you do, they become dependent in a negative sense. But we want to do what God does, and we want to shape people by making the right discernment of when we answer these petitions or whenever we intercede. Because God, He is infinitely wise. See, God knows when to answer and how to answer. So when God does it, we know that He is doing the best possible answer or answering the request. But also when we wait, waiting makes us more like God. See, God is very patient. What did Jonah say? He says that, "I know that you will wait." And that's why he was so frustrated with Him, because he knew how patient He was, how long-suffering God was. See, God's waiting on all of us. See, Christ won't return until every single person that would place their faith in Him will do so. God is very, very patient. And whenever we are called to wait, we are called to be patient. You get to be like God. So if you want to be godly, if you want to be more like the one that we come to worship, take comfort in waiting. Allow it to be an opportunity to grow in your strength and in your maturity, because it's going to make you more complete. So waiting then produces strength. And then finally, waiting is worthwhile. See, as you wait, it leads you to prayer. Or hopefully it should lead you to prayer, because as you continue to wait, you continue to seek God, you continue to ask Him to work, to answer, to hear your request. See, we continue to seek God, and God uses waiting a lot of the time as an opportunity for that, because He knows as we continue to pray to Him, you know, prayer doesn't necessarily always change God. It changes the person that's praying to God. He's working in our hearts. He's working in our minds, our souls, as we seek after Him. So He transforms us as we continue to go to Him in prayer. See, prayer is a gift that God has given us. He's given us this opportunity to come to Him so that He can continue to work on us through His Holy Spirit. So waiting leads us to prayer. Waiting draws us to God. But we also know that there's a reward for waiting. See, in Romans 8, verse 18, it says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." See, we know that if you wait on something, if you're going to choose to actively wait on something, it's got to be worth the wait, right? So if you've ever been to maybe a carnival or a maybe a fair or something like that, where they have all these rides or roller coasters, you look at these lines, right? And sometimes you look at the line, you see the length, the timing, compared to the actual ride you're about to go on. And what do? You decide and you judge, is it worthwhile to wait? So likewise, when we think about our life, when we think about our circumstances, and we think, is God worth the wait? Now, I believe He is, because He is infinitely good. He's infinitely powerful, infinitely wise. He loves you. He knows everything about you, and He knows what will occur if you choose to wait or not choose to wait. See, God is worth the wait. See, my wife and I, we have a baby on the way. And I would say that our baby is worth waiting for. I'm excited and I wait with expectation. And that's how we should be for when Jesus Christ comes to return. Because here's the thing. At the end of the day, when Christ returns, or if we go to be with the Lord before He does return, we're going to recognize how amazingly wonderful and how beautiful Jesus is. And you're going to recognize when you see Him, you're going to see all the other things of the world, they go strangely dim. When you actually just, can you imagine that? Being face to face with the Lord. Seeing Him. Knowing that all of your waiting was worthwhile. Because all these little things that we can get distracted with, be concerned over, though there is things that matter in this life, ultimately it's going to come down to this final moment is, what did I do with Jesus? Did I wait on Him? Because those who wait on Him will have the reward, which is God, which is His Son, which is what the gospel was all about. See, I just think it's so amazing that David will say this psalm, and he says this, these simple words of wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He says this, and he never got to hear or see all the things that Jesus did that we have in the New Testament. David never knew the fulfillment of the gospel, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came, died on the cross for the sins of the world, for anyone who turns from their sins, places their faith in Him. They shall be saved, they will be in a right relationship with God, and they will have eternal life and glory with God forever. See, David didn't get to hear all of that. But he still understood that God was worth the wait. He was worthwhile. So I pray that all of us would hear this today, no matter what season of life we're in, no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what we are waiting on, I pray that you will turn to to the Lord and that you will wait on Him. God is worth the wait. Don't be passive, though. Be active, because He is worth the wait. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this word to remind us how we can patiently endure through the hardest seasons of life, because we know that our trust and our hope is in you, Lord, that you have perfect timing and your will is perfectly good. So let us wait on you, Lord. Let us be of good courage and know that when you come, you will make all things right again. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.